Speaking of weird shit, Amazon has an adult section.
What?
Yeah. We were looking at sex toys, and there was one that was like a leather zipper mask thing, but on the front it had this thing, and like a little catcher thing, right? I'm guessing you jizz in there.
Oh my god.
It was so disgusting.
Fucking Amazon. And we gotta keep that in the show.
Come on, people now! Smile on your brother! Everybody get together! Try to love one another right now!
Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're going to sound a little bit deflated this episode. This is our third or fourth
and
or
a half. Yeah.
I had some difficulties with technical issues in the first one. I was a knucklehead. I deleted the episode while clearing out a whole bunch of big files. We recorded again, and the audio got extremely distorted for no reason.
And it was awesome.
And it was a great episode.
One of our best shows ever. Sorry, right. Friends. Sorry.
Yeah. So now this is our third attempt. 3.5 times, because we were just recording for about 5-10 minutes, and I noticed something, and we had to hit restart again.
And now we're super paranoid, and yeah. We're angry. And yeah. Yeah. If we sound a little bit deflated this episode, it's because we are.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're going to learn from this, and we're going to be using a different audio setup for the next episode.
We went shopping today.
Yeah, we did. We got some stuff. We'll get it under control. We better fucking do it.
So has anything changed in the last 10 minutes, man? How you doing?
Oh, well, I'm pretty pissed off. I hate my life. Yeah, 3:30 last night, I went to go cut the episode, and yeah, it was distorted, I was just deflated, sent you a sample of it, and we sounded like robots, you could not understand.
And there was static, and yeah, it was unplayable.
And we did a test recording just before that, that recorded just fine.
We are jinxed.
Yeah.
It's not even funny anymore, like we've lost like probably like 5 complete episodes due to audio problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully we bought a mixer.
Yeah.
We are going to record to a portable recorder, like everybody says to. Hopefully this works, and hopefully we have no more problems.
Yeah. High five.
I totally jinxed us. Last episode, right at the end, when everything was going great, I said, dude, if another problem happens, I quit.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, 5 hours later, I went to go upload it and cut it and...
Yeah,
whatever. The show must go on.
You know what, though, man? The show is going to rule.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I just took a big old shot of Fireball.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And Adrian's got a Slurpee. So we're going good.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
Go big or go home, man.
That's right.
And hey, my most anticipated game of the entire year comes out tomorrow. The Witcher 3.
Oh, yeah. That looks sweet.
So I'm super happy about that. And my sports teams suck. And they've been eliminated from competitions. What else can go wrong?
That's right.
Seriously.
Nothing else. It's all up. It's all
It's all looking up from here.
We're super defeated right now. Can you tell? Sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, that's us in a nutshell in the last week and a bit.
So it's been a journey. Some of the stuff that we talked about last show, Adrian Charlie here was on the Movie Bear podcast.
Oh yeah, that was pretty fun.
And he was a pimp.
Yeah, thanks, man.
He was a pimp.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked Ex Machina, and there's a bit where we just talk non-spoilers, and you get into a spoiler section, and yeah, it's a lot of fun, so check those guys out. They're a really good bunch.
I watched it live on YouTube and had to turn it off because you guys were talking spoilers.
Oh, yeah,
I hadn't seen it yet. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was pretty fun. Yeah, good guys.
Well, that's cool, man. Anything else you got, or...?
Not really. Should we just get into it? I'm
fucking over it. Let's go.
Let's go. All right. So the first section we're here to talk about is the rant, where we rant about anything movie-related. For me, it's usually about Twitter. Now, this time I just have a rant about farm animals at the movies. You know, people who eat really loudly. Like, at Montage of Heck, there was a girl who had a small bag of popcorn, but she made that last the entire film. She was like, I don't know how she was eating it, but it sounded to me like she was grabbing each piece of popcorn and pushing it against her front teeth. And it was grinding and crunching and just the most obnoxious popcorn eating I've ever witnessed. And how can you police that? Like, hey, you.
Taser guns.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you, stop eating so loudly. Like,
Either shut up or I put 50,000 volts into you.
That's right. Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me.
Bro. Nice.
So that's all I have this episode. See you later, man.
My rant is about people just being really stupid about box office and how Age of Ultron was a disappointment because it didn't cost $200 million. And that is really pathetic. What is wrong with people? It made so much money, but it made like 10 million less than Avengers 1. You guys are high. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
The movie has made $1 billion, and you think it is not a success because it hasn't made as much. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
Yeah. To movie bloggers and casual moviegoers, like, why are you even talking about this at all? Unless you're like an executive or producer, if you're not in the business, why bother?
Do you guys have like a stake in the film that I don't know about?
They definitely don't.
Do you own like Disney stock? Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, and people are talking about Mad Max being a failure. It's an R-rated film. It made $50 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to make 15.
I thought it was going to flop.
I thought Pitch Perfect was going to make $100 million and just steamroll it.
Yeah.
But it did okay.
Yeah. Both did fine on opening weekend. So that's a big victory.
Everybody chill out. Calm down. You have nothing to do with this. Peace.
Preach, man. Preach.
Rant out.
All right. I fully agree with you, man. There's just too much stuff that goes on online where people talk about crap that doesn't matter. But
social media can lick my nuts.
That's right.
It really can.
Yeah.
I hear you, man. It just gives people an opinion, and a lot of people shouldn't have that ability. Unless you're Scott Weinberg. I like Scott.
Yeah, Scott's good.
He's cranky. I like that.
It's good. He has some good rants out there.
Yep.
We ready to get into some main reviews?
Sure.
All right. So let's start with the first one, a documentary we watched recently, Montage of Heck.
I need to see something.
Who are you?
Who are you, Kurt?
I'm Kurt Cobain.
I was underdeveloped, immature little dude that never got laid.
Kurt's brain was constantly going.
You go out for a few hours, you come back, and there was a painting on the wall, and he wrote a song.
He hated being humiliated. You'd see the rage come out.
This is what I've always wanted to do.
Then I said, you are not ready for this.
He wanted to build a home.
If anything's going to stop me, for some rock and roll is going to be hurt.
We were all we had.
He was searching for whatever made him feel like he wasn't alone.
Are you getting all this?
Yes.
Come on, look at the camera.
All right, so this is a Brett Morgan documentary. Why don't you tell our listeners what Montage of Heck is all about?
It's the first authorized documentary about Kurt Cobain, made from material that was in a storage container from Courtney Love that was actually Kurt's. Everything about this film is actually Kurt's. That's never happened before. Lots of unauthorized documentaries, but this is the real deal. Full cooperation, people. You need that.
Oh, yeah. There was audio tapes, video recordings, notepads, drawings, everything.
Yeah. So he decided to use the audio recordings as a basis for animations to make it like Kurt was still here. He would have his voice over and then he would animate over it. You've never seen anything like this, friends. It is so amazing. You think he's there.
Totally.
It's great. It's not only that. You get interviews from his mom, his wife, Chris Novoselic, a bunch of other people giving nice little anecdotes. It's all about Kurt. Footage from when he's a kid. It starts when he's a toddler.
Oh, yeah.
And goes until the Unplugged performance, the last Nirvana performance, and he was dead 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Like, it's all-encompassing, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great, great film. You mentioned in one of our recordings, both of our recordings.
I don't even know what to say anymore. I might just I'm out of words.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed what you said about, you've seen it 3 times now, and you'll probably never watch it again, because it hits so close.
Yeah, I think every generation has a band. And, my dad's band was the Rolling Stones. My dad really loves Rolling Stones. They're still alive. Nirvana put out 4 albums. And Kurt Cobain died when he was 27.
Yeah.
And millions of people loved Kurt Cobain. Didn't even know him, but they through the music, they just were with him and the band. And I don't think I can do it again. The film starts off really nice, but it gets progressively worse and worse and worse. And Kurt Cobain was a heroin addict.
Yeah.
And it's depicted pretty well in this film.
Yeah, there's a bit in the film where he talks about how he wants to get rich and then just live like a junkie the rest of his life.
Yeah, Courtney Love in the movie says he wanted to make $3 million and then become a junkie.
He was serious about that.
That is so sad.
Yeah.
And there's film footage in the movie where he is really obviously fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody's doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's going, whoa, dude.
Yeah, maybe.
Pass me your daughter.
Yeah, it's.
Don't hold her.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to watch. What did you think, man? You saw this before me, and I was super jealous of you. Yeah,
I was lucky to see it at South by Southwest, the Paramount Theater, which is the biggest, most awesome theater to see a movie. It was loud. It was aggressive. It was amazing.
Better than the Alamo Ritz?
It's not as optimized.
Yeah.
But the venue is damn cool.
I heard the seats suck.
Oh, seats are brutal. They're made for 5'8" people who weigh about 150 pounds. And yeah, I'm about double that in both dimensions.
Yeah.
So it's super uncomfortable. Yeah, just a great film. I was a very casual Nirvana fan growing up. It wasn't until I got with Sarah where I became more of a fan. It's funny, she's 9 years younger than me, but she's a lot more cultured in music and movies that are from my era.
As Adrian got with Sarah, he grew his hair out and started wearing Mudhoney t-shirts.
That's right. The plaid shirts. Yeah man. Chain on my wallet, everything.
Lumberjack Charlie here.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, I quite enjoyed it because I didn't really know Kurt Cobain very well. I didn't really study him at all and didn't really know much about him outside of his music. And this gave me a lot to work with. You get to see him as a child and see him grow up. And you
hear about things from his childhood, which really didn't help him at all. He had a pretty bad teenage years. Yeah, it's sad. I don't know how I would have turned out, but Kurt Cobain didn't really have a good childhood.
No.
Sorry to say, but
yeah.
One thing I wanted to say is that other than Dave Grohl not being in it, because he was shooting Sonic Highways for HBO. This is the definitive Kurt Cobain documentary. I want the definitive Nirvana documentary.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brett Morgan can do it.
Oh, totally.
Let him do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's a great filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just knocked it out of the park. We talked about how the title of the film is just perfect. It's called Montage of Heck, and that's what it is. It's like an organized chaos kind of thing going on in the film. Like, there's just, he's throwing quotes at you. He's throwing audio clips. He's throwing written notes.
He animates the notebooks.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff that Kurt had in notebooks, he animates it. And there's, like, I guess Kurt drew stuff, and all the drawings start to move. And it's really amazing.
Yeah.
Stuff I would never think to do, and he did it. So, yeah. Full props to Brett Morgan.
Yeah.
Other than he deleted your tweet.
Oh, that's right.
Douche.
Yeah. He was like, does anybody have any questions? And I sent him a question. I'm going to repeat it to the best of my memory here. I asked him, can you comment on the lighting choices made for Courtney Love and Wendy Cobain? That's his mother. Because in the film, when they first interview them, they're in a bright room. It's really bright. Things are good. And as the film progresses, as Kurt Cobain's career starts to turn, like, as his personal life turns to shit, the lighting for the interviews becomes so dark. It's almost like they're in pitch blackness by the end of the film.
Yeah.
So he just said that they matched the lighting to affect the tone and the mood of the film as it became darker.
Well, obviously he was lying because he deleted your tweet.
What an idiot. Right. Yeah, I went back just to get the wording on it for the episode. I was like, it's gone. But his other answers were there, so I don't know.
He like looked at your profile. I was like, wow, he's Adrian Charlie from the Green Screen of Death. I can't answer a question to him.
That's right.
He's too legit to quit, said That's MC right. Hammer.
He's going to get this answer to the masses.
Yeah. I don't have much more to say. I don't think I'll ever watch this again. It hits too close to home, but it's like a massive recommendation. See it on a screen, not on your like TV. Big screen, people. Big sound.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
It's great.
It's one of the best documentaries of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Highest recommendation.
Yeah, check it out. Check it out. Montage of Heck. All right, so we can move on to our next movie review.
I don't even know where we are. I'm lost.
I've got the outline here.
Cool.
I'll keep us on track. We're going to talk about Alex Garland's directorial debut, Ex Machina.
How long until we get to his estate?
We've been flying over his estate for the past 2 hours.
Caleb, I'm just going to throw this out there so it's said, okay? You're freaked out. You're freaked out to be meeting me, having this conversation in this room at this moment, right? But can we just get past that? The whole employer-employee thing?
It's good to meet you, Nathan.
It's good to meet you too, Caleb. This building isn't a house. It's a research facility. And I want to talk to you about what I'm researching. You want to see something cool? You are dead center of the greatest scientific event in the history of man.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you have a name?
Ava.
What did you think of Ex Machina? And can you tell the listeners a little bit about it?
Come on, man. You mispronounced it. It's Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Right.
Domhnall Gleeson plays Caleb, who wins a contest at his work to go and visit his boss's house to test something, which turns out to be a robot with a revolutionary new AI. And I'm going to stop. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Go into this film really blind. Do not watch the trailer, because it is really intricate, and the trailer gives a little too much away. But that's the basic plot. We have to support good sci-fi, so you have to go and see this. Adrian, what do you think? I think it's a bloody masterpiece.
Yeah, I fully agree with Bill. This is a masterpiece, and the less you know about it going in, I think the more you'll enjoy it. I didn't watch the trailer before I saw the film, just because I saw Alex Garland's name, and I was like, oh, Domhnall Gleeson, Oscar Isaac. And I wasn't familiar with Alicia Vikander, but man, she is phenomenal.
Alicia Vikander was kind of a big indie film fest girl a few years ago, and then she kind of disappeared. I haven't seen her in film in a while.
Yeah,
that's And now she's in everything coming in the next year.
Yeah. Yeah, she's in a... I was looking at IMDb. What's that guy's name? One of the American...
Stanley indie... Kubrick.
Yeah, that's right. Stanley Kubrick. One of the small
indie... alive, damn it.
...indie American filmmakers. I want to say the guy who did Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Sean Durkin?
No, not... Oh, maybe it's not Durkin. C.N. France, I think she's nice. Doing a film with C.N. France and Michael Fassbender.
Nice.
Yeah, it's based on a book, so I'll probably read the book and get excited for that. Anyway, got off track there.
That the never happens on this podcast.
That's right. Ex Machina or Ex Machina.
Machina.
Is, it's amazing. It's one of the smartest sci-fis we've witnessed in the last few years, and we've seen some really great ones, especially from, you know, Shane Carruth, for example.
Yes.
The nice thing about this film is that it's very complex. It still manages to tell you what it's about without treating you like a dumbass, pretty much, for lack of better words. It's easy to follow along as long as you're paying attention. And it held my attention from start to finish. It's just an immersive experience. Just phenomenal film.
Oscar Isaac plays the boss of the Domhnall Gleeson character. And Oscar Isaac did something really amazing in this film. He shaves his head and grows a wickedly great beard.
Oh, yeah. That beard is...
That beard is a character in its own movie.
Oh, it totally.
It is awesome. And the first time you see Oscar Isaac in the film, he's like sparring in a boxing kind of thing, like punching a heavy bag. And he turns around and you see this beard.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, good God, man. Good God.
It is amazing.
Oscar Isaac is a chameleon.
He totally is.
But he's like an inside Llewyn Davis guy, or he's a Most Wanted Man guy. He's so Most Violent Year guy.
Drive.
Yeah. He's amazing. Yeah. Alicia Vikander is really great. Everything about this film is great. The look, the atmosphere, the slowness of it.
Yeah.
This movie takes its time.
Oh, yeah.
That's really rare nowadays.
Yeah.
People, they talk about how people have ADHD when they're watching movies or TV. Alex Garland doesn't care. It's beautifully paced.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think you're going to see a better sci-fi film this year. Like, I think it's that good.
It's great. It is phenomenal. Just looking at my notes here. Yeah, some of the most stunning cinematography we've seen in the last few years. Like, it's just...
I've fucking memorized my notes, man. I've already done this yeah. 3.5 times.
Yeah. It is starting to sound like autopilot.
Totally.
At this point. It's a beautiful film to watch. The aesthetic, the set design, it's all very simple and basic and beautiful. It's like set in some hotel you can stay in Europe somewhere.
I'll never be able to stay in that because if it... freaks me out too much.
Oh yeah.
It's too claustrophobic in the film.
Yeah.
It's the hotel slash house is another character in the film because it's all done. Every door is controlled by key cards and it's like a video game. It's beautiful. Everything. Oh, yeah. You gotta have the right key card to get into the right room. And my God, you're screwed if you don't have that.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's like Metal Gear.
Yeah.
You need the level 2 access card to get through here.
Solid Snake, y'all.
That's right. And no, that's not a spoiler. There's no Solid Snake in this one.
That's the character in Metal Gear. Why haven't you played Metal Gear?
Get on there. Cool. Do you have anything else to say about
It's a masterpiece. I love it. One of the best films of the year.
I fully agree.
Might be talking about it in a couple weeks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've at the middle of the year... we like to record an episode where we talk about our top films so far in the year. So I'm sure this one will be back for that discussion. All right. So, of course, this weekend, the nice thing about us losing an episode is we can talk about George Miller's Mad Max Fury Road.
this wasteland, I am the one who runs from both the living and the dead. A man reduced to a single instinct. Survive.
We are not things. We are not things.
Where is she taking them? I want them back. They're my property.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Want to get through this?
Go!
Holy shit, does this movie ever fucking destroy everything?
End of review.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Go see it. Go see it.
14 and a half thumbs up.
That's right.
A couple from the other show.
Yeah. Yeah, and some two tumors up.
Yeah.
From my neck.
This film deserves all the hyperbole. It really does.
Oh, big time.
When reviews kind of started leaking out, everybody was using a lot of big words. Wow, were they right?
Yeah,
everything about this film,
yeah,
is beautiful.
It's awesome. The action is so big and each set piece is so amazing, and like the set design, the first 10-15 minutes of this movie, you're taken into this world. You're taken into the Citadel where the main boss guy hangs out, Immortan Joe. And everything there is just so gross, grotesque, but totally awesome. Why don't you tell the listeners, like, a few of the things you see in there? Because it's pretty fucked up.
So Max, who's still driving the car, by the way, gets picked up by the Citadel people, is put in jail to be a bleeder or a blood guy.
Blood bag.
Blood bag for all these sick people. Meanwhile, in the background, the Charlize Theron character, Furiosa. Lots of really cool names in this film, by the way. Check out IMDb. You'll have a good laugh. Furiosa kidnaps the leader's breeding wives and decides she's going to take them away. And Max gets released somehow. Lots of fighting. And gets with Furiosa. And then it's an hour and 40 minutes of action.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously. You've seen nothing like this before. It is spectacular. I love this film. Everything about it. It's not really much to say. Yeah, go see the fucking film.
Go see it.
We should have just ended it by when you said, holy shit.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about it too is because it's so, there's so much action, they use the action to really push the narrative in the film. Like all the action is directly tied into the narrative and what's happening in the film. And sure, it is a very basic and simple premise, but man, the execution is just outstanding. Like the characters, you know, you've got this one vehicle that houses war drums, and at the front of it, there's a guy with a guitar that shoots fire.
That's his job.
Yeah.
He plays the guitar on a giant war machine.
Yeah.
And you, I guess it's so that you hear them coming?
Well, I think it ties into, like, ancient. You look at the Civil War, you had guys playing drums,
yeah,
and brass instruments. You've got, you know, Lord of the Rings, they had war drums as well. It's always been a big part of war.
That's true.
Through history, I think that's what it was all about. But this was like the George Miller twist on it. It was so awesome. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Tom Hardy is the lead in this film, Max of Mad Max, and he literally has 20 lines or less in
or
the
less
film.
Yeah,
it's just him grunting, yeah, and making awesome facial expressions at people.
Yeah,
so really this is Charlize Theron's film.
Oh, totally.
And she carries it like a boss.
Yeah. She is amazing.
She's
in this.
Really damn good.
Yeah.
Lots of really unknown Australian actors. One of the brides was the girl in Transformers 3.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. Nicholas Holt. An unrecognizable Nicholas Holt.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody in this film who's not Max looks really weird. And Nick Holt looks like he hasn't eaten food in a while, hasn't been near the sun in 3 years, and his lips are falling off.
Yeah.
Like, he looks amazing in this film. Yeah. And he's really damn good. Everybody in this film is damn good.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just acting. Practical effects. People getting thrown around. Trucks blowing up. Yeah. Trucks flipping 50 million times.
Bodies flying.
Motorcycles, like, hitting trucks. Like, just people getting smoked.
People sliding under trucks, like the big war truck. They had, like, guys on motorcycles, like, sliding underneath. It's like, what the fuck? That's totally unnecessary, but it's awesome.
Don't let the whole idea of this being a macho film, like, get you from not seeing it. As I said, Charlize carries this film.
Yeah.
It's her film.
Yes.
It's just a really awesome, fun film. And I think it's the film of the summer. Which scares the crap out of me because it's only May.
Yeah, we still have a lot of movies to go. It probably ruined every other film for the summer. Like,
oh, what am I talking about? Melissa McCarthy has a movie in 3 weeks. There we go. Hey, film of the summer.
That one looks good, though. Oh, I'm looking forward to that one.
I hope it's good, but I hate her.
Do you have anything else to say?
Just it's amazing.
Go see it.
Like that trailer, everybody saw it, and we all knew it was going to be great, and it lived up.
Big time.
That's rare.
It exceeded the hype.
So please, please, please support this film because I want to see it.
Yeah.
Multiple times. I don't want it to leave in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Same here. Yeah. Same here.
So yeah. Support Mad Max Fury Road.
Check it out.
One of the best films of the year.
Okay, so we can move to our next section, the movie club, where we picked the second movie of the movie club is Breaking the Waves by Lars von Trier. You're the one who recommended it. You know more about it. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the film. And just a quick heads up, we will talk minor spoilers for this or major spoilers. It's a 20-year-old film. So if you haven't seen it, check the show notes and skip to the next section.
Or don't. I don't care. So Emily Watson in what I think is the greatest female performance of all time, plays Bess, who lives in a very religious Scottish town, and she meets a outsider named Jan, who works on an oil rig, and her town is really against outsiders. But she marries him, and Jan sees her for what she is. She's a very simple woman. You kind of get the feeling she's not quite right. Something a little weird going on with her. I mean, when Jan's away one time on the oil rig, he gets hurt and gets paralyzed. Bess is really kind of screwed up in the head, and she thinks she's talking to God. And from her perspective, she starts to think that she can cure Jan by doing weird stuff. Because she has nothing that's not 100%. She loves 100%, and she loves the church 100%. Everything with her is full on. She's a super emotional chick. Lars von Trier really wants to hurt you with this film. So the stuff that she has to do, not kid stuff, man.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah, he is a brutal filmmaker. And he knows how to twist that knife. Because when you think it's over, he's got more for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, I like watching movies that challenge me. And this is a really challenging film. And I think it's a bloody masterpiece. Yeah. Not just from like the acting or the filmmaking perspective. I think on a whole, there's been nothing like this ever.
It's a twisted, crazy film.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk a little bit about the era, because you mentioned like the handheldness and the style of the film.
Lars von Trier and a bunch of filmmakers made Dogma 95, which is like a 10-rule manifesto about making really low-budget, clean, handheld films where nothing could be fake. No CG, no nothing. Not even like music. They weren't allowed to have music in the films. This is pretty much a Dogma film, other than the fact that every like 30 minutes, there's a chapter break with music and a title card, which is against dogma rules. But everything is really minimalistic, all natural light, all handheld. I know you weren't a terrible big fan of the handheld.
Yeah, the handheld bugged me a little bit, but I knew it was from that era. So.
Yeah, it's cool. I don't really have a problem with that. It's not like Paranormal Activity 12.
No, because like there are some stunning shots in this film.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, it's not an easy film, and I had a feeling that Adrian might be a little disturbed by it, and I think that was the point. When I envisioned this whole thing, I wanted him to watch important films, and I think this is a really important film. It's not easy, but, you know, go and watch Transformers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I watch films to be educated or entertained. Entertaining, I guess, but this is I think it's really important, and it's finally available via Criterion Blu-ray. That's the only way to watch it. Like I think it's great, and I hope you liked it. I know if you liked it because we've done this three times. But
I mentioned to you before while shit was going down in this film, I was very confused because I was like, in this spot, I would normally be very upset. I'd be like weeping, like my shirt would be soaked from the tears streaming down my face. But I didn't cry. I didn't feel a lot while I was watching the film. And days later, I kind of realized I was putting up like a defensive mechanism where to the point where I was like, no, Lars von Trier, you're not going to abuse me through cinema.
Mission accomplished, motherfucker. Yeah.
But yeah, one of the things you mentioned is that it's important that it speaks volumes that it resonated with me. And days later, I'm still thinking about it. And man, does that film ever stick the landing in the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the final shot, which we're not going to spoil, completely changes your outlook on the film.
Yeah.
Like, how many times has that happened in a film?
Yeah, exactly. It was just, took my breath away. I had chills running up and down my spine. It's a movie I need to watch again before weighing in my final thoughts on it, because the whole time I was just going, what the fuck?
The cool thing on like multiple viewings is that I see weird things that von Trier is trying. Like, every scene in that film ends before it's supposed to. Like, jarringly violent cuts, which are just great. Like, yeah. People will be, like, mid-sentence or mid-scream, and he'll cut.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Ballsy filmmaking, man. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you kind of liked it, and I hope that if you see it again, that you recognize his brilliance.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hard on the first watch.
It's not an easy film, man.
It's a hard watch.
I should have made you watch The Idiots, which was the second film in the trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Dancer in the Dark was the third one. The Idiots is a comedy about a bunch of people who decide they're going to be mentally handicapped.
Oh, yeah, and they make fun of that.
24/7.
Oh, geez.
Without breaking character.
That's and crazy.
It is the meanest film I think I've ever seen, but holy crap, is it great. It's so funny.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
I'll keep my eyes peeled for that. that's Breaking the Waves. Now, part of the movie club is that we'd love it if you participated, the listeners. And one of our favorite listeners, Jim Poliafico from Movie Bear Podcast, he joined in on the fun of watching Breaking the Waves.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah. Bill apologizes.
The next one is nice.
Yeah, we promise. The next one's much nicer.
The next couple are actually nice. I already know the next one because we're recording in like a week.
Yeah. So I'll read some of Jim's comments on the film. Another dark, intense von Trier film. Its tone and themes aren't quite as cynical and hopeless as Dancer in the Dark, but almost. This can be a very difficult film to watch. It's apparent that during this span in his career, von Trier seemed happy to pummel his audience with misery. Several scenes stick with me, evoking confusion, despair, and anger. The movie left me with questions about certain character actions, but it's clear that the movie isn't interested at all in providing the answers. Definitely one of those movies that I want to talk about afterward to compare views in certain scenes, themes, and the feelings it evokes. Emily Watson's performance as Bess was stunningly amazing and really the centerpiece of the movie. And while I'm still not sure why he used them, I really dug the chapter title cards and accompanying musical cues. Great use of music.
Hell yeah.
And then Jim finishes with asking a question you can probably answer.
Sure.
He said, one thing that stuck with me was if he loved her as much as he did, why would he ask her to do those things that harmed her?
I've always thought it was because he was high on pain meds. Just that changes your personality, and he was in a lot of pain, and he medicated, and he became a dick.
Yeah.
It's probably as simple as I thought it was. Nothing really major. But yeah, I think that's why.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, he was the polar opposite prior to his accident. He was just the most outgoing, happy guy you could ever meet.
I totally just remembered something from the film, and I have actually, we've already talked about this three times, so this is something new. This just totally came into my head. The thing that really drives me to like say this is a masterpiece is how occasionally Emily Watson's character breaks the fourth wall and looks at the camera.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I picked up on that. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like they're daring you. Come on, let's keep going.
So amazing.
Stay on the journey with us.
I don't know much more to say. I hope everybody gets to see it eventually. If you don't like the subject matter, I apologize. I've done two rough films. One was 6 hours long, and one's really hard to watch.
Yeah.
But this episode's movie is super nice.
Yeah, tell us what's our choice number three for Movie Club.
1984's Hayao Miyazaki film, Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind, an animated film from Japan. What I think is Miyazaki's masterpiece, and that is saying a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is a master.
He's got a lot of great films.
It's hand-drawn animation, folks. I just rewatched it, and say what you want about Pixar films, this film, wow, so beautiful. As I said, it's a masterpiece, and I was pretty sure you hadn't seen it. Man, I hope you like it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably watch it within the next few days.
Sweet. Sarah,
so. Yeah, looking forward to it. We should mention it's not available on demand, so you'll either have to rent it or borrow it from a friend. Bill doesn't recommend a blind buy, though. It might be, you know, Disney DVDs and Blu-rays are usually pretty expensive anyway.
Yeah. So I would definitely try to rent it. Hopefully your town has a good video store, if those exist. And, yeah, one little rule, though. It is a Japanese film, folks. That doesn't mean you watch it in English. Yes. You watch it subtitled.
The subbed version every time.
You don't get to play along.
That's right. Yeah.
This is the rule. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Cool. Well, I look forward to it, man.
Yeah, I hope you love it, man.
Okay, so I guess we're ready to move on to our next section, the lightning round, where we briefly talk about some of the other films we've watched.
Pew, lightning round.
Yeah, that's right. There's our official cue for the lightning round. So I guess I'll start first because I watched some movies this time. It's pretty
hell
cool.
Yeah, you did, man. Congrats. That's
thanks.
Cool.
So I watched Roar, which is just 90 minutes of white people barely escaping lion and tiger attacks. It is crazy.
Crazy good.
Yeah, it is so funny. Like, what's the guy, the lead? I think it's Noel Marshall,
the
filmmaker. He's like the ringleader, and he's very tough with the lions. He like pushes them around and barks at them and screams at them.
Says you have to let them know who's boss.
That's right.
While they're biting him.
Yeah. Yeah. And what does he say? The cats get a little playful. That's all. And meanwhile, they're chewing his hand off.
Yeah. There's a really weird, funny, goofy plot. Who cares? It's all about people getting chased and mauled.
That's right.
A lot.
Yeah. It's disgusting. Stupid, but it's awesome.
Stupid white people in the movie.
Yeah. So that's Roar. It is awesome. Also saw Noah Baumbach's latest film, While We're Young, which is starring Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, Adam Driver, and Amanda Seyfried. Stiller and Watts, they're kind of an older couple who run into Driver and Seyfried, and they start to hang out and kind of find their youth again, and it bothers their friends, right? I really, really enjoyed this film. I thought it was awesome.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Didn't like it as much as you did.
Ah.
But as I said before, it's like you liked Francis Hall more than I did too.
Oh yeah. Love that film.
Did you ever see like The Squid and the Whale or any of those?
No, I haven't seen his earlier stuff.
Yeah, he's an acquired taste, but I've been digging it lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good film.
And this one, I thought, makes a nice companion piece to Frances Ha, because in Frances Ha, she's a younger, older woman, young woman on the verge of being old, who doesn't know what she wants. And this time it's personal. You know, 45-year-old man and that's how old Baumbach is. Kind of deciding, did I do the right thing? Am I happy? Am I successful? And it goes down a lot of different paths. I quite enjoyed it. And cool performance from Adam Horovitz, also known as the King Ad Rock from Beastie Boys.
Yes.
He was good in this one.
Yeah, we both were quite surprised when he came on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, that's a Beastie Boy.
Yeah.
And he's in a Noah Baumbach film.
Yeah.
And he's really good.
Yeah, he has this one scene where he just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah. I'd love to see him act more.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, he was really good.
Great presence.
Yeah. I also saw Adult Beginners. That's a Nick Kroll film, also starring Rose Byrne and Bobby Cannavale. And this film is mostly just an actor's showcase, which I'm fine with. It was a good film with some really good performances. What did you think of Adult Beginners?
Yeah, I also saw it too. I liked it a little more than you did. It's not great, but the acting is great, and I didn't mind the plot, actually. This was like a really huge South by Southwest film, which automatically says festival goggles to me.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people at the festival made me feel bad for missing it, and I was like, oh man, maybe I should have seen that, but here we are 2 months later and I've seen it.
You also should have saw Furious 7 at the Paramount.
Oh,
what
Jesus.
Is your problem?
No, I'd rather see We Are Still Here. I'll do it all over again.
Yeah, it's a fun, fine little film.
Yeah.
Nick Kroll is great.
He is really good.
I think he has more in him, though. I think he could be not the dick.
Yeah.
I think he could be a really good straight man, too.
Yeah.
He's a really good actor.
He could take that path, you know? You never know. Like, how many actors have gone from comedian to, like, serious actor? Like, Tom Hanks, he was a comedic actor when he first started. Bill Murray, of course. Not saying that he's going to be in that category, but you never know.
No, I think he's really good.
Yeah.
And if you don't watch The League, that's a really good TV show.
Revisited a bunch of... Actually, before I move on to those, for Canada National Film Day, I watched Pregoland. It's a film you saw at Vancouver International Film Fest, right?
Last year.
Yeah. I thought it was okay. I thought it was fine. The lead actress, she also wrote and did she direct the film as well?
No, I don't think she directed it. Sonia Bennett.
Basically, she, to get the attention of her friends, she lies about being pregnant. And the whole film, she has to put up this front like she's pregnant and just so she can fit in with her friends who have kids or they're pregnant as well. They're all telling her to grow up and she's like, well, I'm pregnant now.
You know, people do this too. I think I might have hit this film during the film festival when I had seen a lot of like really deep make me cry movies. Cause when I saw this, I laughed my ass off.
Oh, it's very
funny.
Yeah.
And I usually don't like Canadian film.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. But, I liked this film. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
You could definitely do a lot worse than this.
Oh yeah.
Canadian film wise.
Yeah.
I would recommend it. I think it's on VOD.
Yeah, and Danny Trejo is in this, and he has like a really funny supporting role.
He's like the voice of reason in the film.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
When was the last time that happened to Danny Trejo?
Never. Yeah, so that's Pregoland. It's a light recommendation for me. I think you liked it as well.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Rewatched some older films. Watched the original Star Wars trilogy with Sarah because she had no recollection of the movies. We watched the Blu-ray special edition.
Still shaking my head on that, man. I really am.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was fun. I had a blast. Really wish I had access to the originals, but we had fun. And as the movies progressed, I had to keep telling her, okay, this is what Lucas changed in this scene. Oh, that little thing that's there, that wasn't there before.
I'm totally going to date myself on this one, so I apologize. But if you have a Laserdisc player that still works, I have the original Star Wars on Laserdisc.
Okay. Yes. Right on, dude.
Bit of a nerd. Bit of a nerd.
Nice. And leading up to Mad Max Fury Road, I rewatched Mad Max and Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. First one I thought was a little slow, but it was really cool to see the stunts they were able to pull off, and Mel Gibson was a badass. And the original bad guy, he plays the bad guy in Fury Road.
Does he?
Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah. Really? I think his name is the Toe Cutter in the first one. Yeah, cool name. He was the original villain in Mad Max 1. He plays Immortan Joe in Fury Road.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, super cool. So, yeah, I like the first one.
The last 20 minutes is really good.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of it, not so much.
Really cool stunts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Road Warrior is just totally badass. Really cool. Had a blast with that one. So that got me nice and ready for Fury Road.
Notice how he didn't say Beyond Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah.
that film does not exist in the canon. Never talk about it again.
Yes.
I said too much.
We shall never speak of that again.
Yeah, it goes straight from the Road Warrior to Fury Road.
That's right. That's right. And I've got one more entry for Lightning Round. Pitch Perfect 2, which is one I liked a lot, but you disliked a lot.
It's the same movie all over again. Beat for beat.
Yeah.
Everything is the freaking same.
I don't mind that.
Terrible.
The jokes are hilarious. The deliveries are mostly on point. There's a sequence with David Cross where he plays like this underground a cappella guy, and he's just hysterical.
That all the guest appearances are really funny. I'll give you that. But the rest of it's really tired because I know exactly what's going to happen. Because they're just following the same damn plot as the first film. And I like the first one enough. And I actually kind of thought Rebel Wilson was funny in the first one. She's bloody awful in this one.
Well, I liked her in this one. I didn't like her as much as I liked her in the first. They definitely ran with the internet popularity of her. I thought they could have cut a lot of her stuff out, actually.
And she's this is going to sound terrible. She's the worst singer of all of them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, she's so terrible.
Her false confidence is hilarious, yeah, though.
Patricia.
That's right.
In brackets, fat.
Yeah.
Amy.
That's right.
I like Anna Kendrick.
Elizabeth Banks and that guy.
Man, I'm
ripping on people.
I'm pulling stuff out of the air here. Yeah, didn't like this one at all.
Yeah.
Glad you liked it, though.
Yeah,
I'm sure lots of other people will, too. It's sloppy.
What was weird about watching the film is, again, I was one of the only adult males in the audience. There were scenes where I was the only one laughing, probably because the young kids didn't quite get the references. But whatever. I had fun.
Before Mad Max, they played the trailer for Vacation.
Oh, that looks dreadful.
It looks dreadful, but there's a joke in the film where the Ed Helms' kid comes out of the bathroom and says, "Oh, there was a hole in my stall." And Ed Helms is like, "Oh, that's called a glory hole."
Oh, yeah.
And man, it was like people just invented laughter. Like everybody lost their minds on that joke.
Oh,
I'm just
man.
Like, wow.
That's brutal.
These are the people that go and see movies nowadays.
That's right.
Ugh.
I bet they love Paul Blart Mall Cop as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's all I have for lightning round.
Well, there is another one. Are you ready for
it? Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Avengers, Age of Ultron. In the first recording, this was a main review.
It was.
But we were both sort of like not impressed by it. So as soon as Mad Max came out, we got kicked it to the curb.
Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of here. Pretty much. Avengers. Fuck you, Avengers.
Like, this movie is completely just okay. It's just there.
Paint by numbers.
Yeah.
Autopilot.
I don't even know if they run out of ideas. Like, there's obviously a lot of comic to be writ. But everything about it just seemed like really generic to me.
Oh, yeah.
It, like, it's painfully generic.
Yeah.
Like, stuff is... It's to the point now where they're playing to people who already know the comic books, because I didn't get half this film. Nothing is explained.
Yeah.
And that to me is just terrible writing. And that's inexcusable.
It is. Yeah, I liked it enough. I don't even know if I'll buy it on Blu-ray. I'm just so done with that whole universe right now. The action was just so over the top and just bordered on being like a mindless Michael Bay Transformers film. Incoherent mess.
Yep.
Explosions going off, but oh my God, it's so cool. What else have you seen?
Yeah. Sorry about that, Avengers fans. Marvel fans.
Suck it.
It didn't make very much money. There you go. A little indie Australian sci-fi film called Infini. It's really low budget, and it looks like it's $100 million film. It's great. This mining colony gets attacked by some sort of alien entity, and a search party is sent to try to figure out what happened, and alien chaos ensues. As I said, it's very low budget, but I said this three times now. I should have wrote the guy's name down who directed it, because that guy can direct a hell of a film. It's a good little film. It's on VOD. Check it out. Kamiko the Treasure Hunter. I didn't like this one. I'm the only person who didn't like this film. Sorry.
Yeah, you mentioned it was like kind of mean-spirited.
It's really mean-spirited. Like, the whole idea of this woman who finds a VHS copy of Fargo, and there's obviously something wrong with her because she believes that this movie is like, she found a treasure map at the end of Fargo. She goes to Fargo to like dig this treasure up in the snow. And everybody kind of is just not in on the joke. It's really mean-spirited. I didn't like it.
That's too bad.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Next, little short called The World of Tomorrow.
Yes, we watched this together. You showed me this one.
It's on Vimeo for $4, and you will not spend $4 better this year. Literally, people, that's a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Skip a latte.
Yeah, or double meat at Subway or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a little girl gets pulled into the future by her clone grandmother, something.
Like version 3
of her, and told stuff about the future. I'm not going to say much more. It's really weird, but it's great weird.
Oh, yeah.
Great sci-fi. And it's only 16 minutes long, and it's amazing. Check it out.
Oh, what's the filmmaker's name again?
Don Hertzfeld. Makes really great shorts.
Wicked.
The Age of Adeline. I said I wasn't going to see it, but I saw it.
Yeah.
And I really liked it.
Yeah.
It's got kind of a cool story, but it dies at the end.
That's too bad.
It completely dies at the end. Oh. And, and the woman in the film can't die. So it dies. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
It's just not a very good ending, but I really like the rest of it. Blake Lively is a star. I really like her.
That's weird to hear, because she hasn't done anything good.
She was in Gossip Girl. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
On the big screen, the Green Lantern, she did. Oh, I'm sorry. Proceed.
And my last film, Arnold Schwarzenegger in his Oscar attempt, Maggie.
Oh, yeah. How is this?
I like this film quite a bit.
Right on.
It's quite good. His daughter gets bitten by a zombie and has 6 weeks before she turns into a zombie. And Arnold is acting his ass off in this film.
That's cool,
and it's great. It's shot really well. It looks really beautiful, and the plot got me.
Nice.
Arnold isn't doing all of his Arnoldisms. He's actually acting.
Right on.
Remember Escape Plan?
Oh, yeah. He had some acting in there.
He was pretty good.
He was like speaking Austrian or something.
Yeah, he was like emoting and stuff. It was weird. he was pretty decent in that film. He's really good in this film, and I think it's worth a check because I think it's pretty good.
Right on. Yeah, we've been meaning to watch that. It's available on demand now, so that's pretty cool.
But yeah, that's it for me.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yep.
I guess after the lightning round, we usually talk about what's coming up. So as we mentioned before, we're going to be recording every 2 weeks. We'll post on Twitter and Facebook, like the deadline is to finish the movie club film. But why don't you tell us the movies we're going to watch in the next 2 weeks that our listeners can look forward to in the next episode.
All right, friends. May 22nd. Fox Studios killing my childhood once again with Poltergeist.
Hey, I'm looking forward to this one.
Not me, man. That trailer did nothing for me.
Sam Rockwell, man. I'm hoping he's the saving grace.
No. Tomorrowland, which everybody's already seen, and the embargo got lifted yesterday, and everybody hated it.
Yeah, and you've got an inside source who was at a screening and said everybody hated it.
So this looks like it could be a really expensive flop.
Yeah.
But it's Brad Bird.
It's crazy. Everybody involved, you know, George Clooney.
Yeah, no, I still got hopes. I hope it's good.
Yeah.
I got to have hopes for it. I think it looks really good.
It looks
cool. I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, there's no plot in the trailer.
Yeah, a girl goes to another world when she picks up a coin, and that's all we see.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. Well, I think it looks really good. I hope for good things. Not prejudging films.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Yeah. That's it for that week. And on May 29th, the new Cameron Crowe film, Aloha, when we first recorded this show, like 28 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You had no idea what this even was.
Yeah,
which is like just absolute failure and everything because nobody knows what this film is.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard the title now that you mentioned it.
Three times.
Yeah.
It's Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, Rachel McAdams, Bill Murray, and Jay Baruchel starring the new Cameron Crowe film, who is very hit or miss lately.
Yeah. He's been on a really cool streak lately.
Yeah. We bought a zoo, friends. We bought a zoo.
Oh, don't remind me.
And finally, the feel-good movie of the year, The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Dwayne Johnson in a helicopter and fault lines moving and stuff.
Yes.
And it's not a Roland Emmerich film, people. San Andreas.
How weird is it that Roland Emmerich is not directing this film?
I automatically assumed.
Yeah, as soon as you see End of the World... World falling apart. You're like, oh, okay, Roland Emmerich. Here we go. Not so much.
I always kind of enjoy the stupidness of the Roland Emmerich films, so I'm a little scared about this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. I'll see it, probably mostly because of the show and The Rock. He's quite a draw. So
yeah.
He's always very entertaining. Unless he's doing like the Tooth Fairy or whatever.
I probably would see this anyway, but because we have a podcast, I feel obligated. So you're welcome, people. I got this movie looks terrible.
We do it for you.
This podcast was hard.
we got spoiled by seeing some really great movies, and we had to record three different episodes talking about the same movie. So again, we apologize if our enthusiasm isn't quite there 100%. And the, of course, the show got delayed. We were supposed to post it on Friday. But, hey, show must go on, right?
Everybody, you can come off the bridge. We have recorded a new show.
That's right. So, yeah, this show will go up on Tuesday. And then, 2.5 weeks later will be our next episode.
And, hey, if this doesn't work, we have a backup.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we have a portable recorder we use while we're on the road and stuff, and it's pretty good. But we definitely prefer to use the microphones that we have.
We refuse to lose on this one.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, thanks again for sticking with us. We hope you stick around. I guess we should tell people where you can find us online. So you're on Twitter.
Twitter and Twitter only. I am at SoundJam69.
And I am at Adrian_Charlie. The show also has a Twitter account at @TheGreen_Screen. You can also find us on Facebook. Just run a search for the Green Screen of Death. Hit like. We post there once in a while.
The Green Screen of Death Twitter account has more followers than I do.
Oh, no way. That's awesome. Yeah, so.
Some people would get really angry at that, but I don't care.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. And if you followed us recently, we have received a bunch of followers recently. So thanks for checking us out. You can also find us on various podcast platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, of course, our website. Please throw us a rating, hit us up with a comment and subscription. All that stuff helps us find a wider audience, and that's always a cool thing for us. Thanks very much for listening. Most of our listeners are from California, so shout out to California. Thanks for sticking with us, and we'll talk with you next time.
Peace.
I would shiver the whole night through. My girl, my girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night? In the pines, in the pines, where the sun don't ever shine. I would shiver.
Because I haven't done anything really bad this episode, I'm going to do this. The Green Screen of Death, Victoria's only relevant movie podcast.
There you go, dude. Right on. Thanks for throwing that in, man.
Beep.
Bill loves to fuck me up.
Beep.
All right.